When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another loss to football Sunday. I mean, think about it. I can't do it anymore. Up at 9:30 a.m. to watch the Giants embarrass themselves against the Panthers. Stick with the NFL all day long to later watch the Jets embarrass themselves with the Cardinals. We'll get to both, obviously, throughout the course of the day. BT, for me, I want to start with the Giants here. Like, we talked about it going in. They shouldn't have gotten off the plane back home if they lost that game to the Carolina Panthers, and yet they did. And, you know, I'm somebody that's been backing Shane and Dable. I don't know how I could do it anymore. Now, I still have my thoughts on what I would do moving forward, which we'll get into, but I have to side with you here, and you've been saying for a while that Mara said he didn't anticipate making any changes. Well, he probably didn't anticipate losing to the Carolina Panthers either.
Yep.
That is as embarrassing a loss as it could possibly get for the New York Giants, who have sunk to yet another low.
That was disgraceful. I'm going to go a little bit of a bigger picture here, Sal. I think we are officially at the lowest point in the history of the Giants. I think right now is the lowest point ever. Giants pride is dead. I got news for everybody. You look at the great Giant fans and the energy and the passion for their team. It has slowly dissipated. It has been chipped away to a point where I believe there's almost more apathy than there is still certainly conviction and even hope for this team. I think I really think that. You've got no quarterback, right? And you've got an owner who too often this decade has proven clueless. And he's got a tough decision ahead. You referenced the word that I hung on 2 months ago.
Yeah.
When he spoke about the future of the Giants. I thought the door was slightly open. I think there's going to be a lot of change this offseason. I think that there should be. But big picture, everybody associates the Giants rock bottom with the 70s. This is it.
But here's the reason why. Oh, okay, there's a lot of different layers to this. I can't even believe I'm going to say this. I still do believe Dable could be a good coach. Now, if you're telling me, see, prior to this loss, I would fight back and give you reason why I think that they should keep Dable. After losing that game, my argument to keep him is certainly less, meaning that if they did fire him, I can't go nuts and say that, all right, well, you made a huge mistake. Although I think they still would be making a mistake. I can't go nuts anymore because the record is what it is, and there's no way they should be losing all these games that they have lost. My biggest issue with this organization, and it's to your point, okay, the Giants have gotten to a new low. You're saying the lowest in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, I believe
okay,
that.
Fair enough. I didn't do all the work, but it's certainly to go back in a history, but it's certainly one of the lowest, if not the lowest in the last decade or so, where there's been new lows seemingly every year, whether it's Gettleman or McAdoofus or Judge, and now this regime losing to the Panthers here. To me, the main culprit's the owner. Like, if I were John Mara, I'd wake up today and fire myself. I would look in the mirror and fire myself. That's how bad he's been. Their problems go back years, whether it's hiring or pushing Coughlin out, hiring McAdoofus, Gettleman, allowing Gettleman to draft a running back number two overall. Like, it all starts with that. And then you go from drafting a running back number two overall, which you never do, then forcing Joe Shane and Dable to extend Daniel Jones, when we all knew that it was a big mistake to do so. Then he strong-armed them. Then by letting Barkley walk, he strong-armed Shane into thinking, well, hey, I'm not going to be able to sleep if you let this star running back go. So what does he do? He takes what he thinks could be the face of the franchise offense with Malik Nabers. Wrong, 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 wrong. Every step of the way, it's been wrong decisions, and it all starts to me at the top with Mara, who we look at as some great owner.
I don't.
Because of the history here.
I don't. He's not his dad.
Now, the problem is he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I know. I get it. And in all probability, neither is Woody. We'll get to that circus mess in a minute. Those losers, they're up next. the way you framed it, it really was. Yesterday may have been, if you really think about it, Sal, and there's been a million empty Sundays, but getting up early and suffering through that Giants game, and then waiting all day to get to the Jets and that slop fest. I don't know that there's been a worse, more depressing football Sunday ever. And that says something. And again, I go to 2022, and at this point, 2022 is just a rare, unexpected anomaly that has no push forward. 2022 is dead. Anything that was built off of that has already evaporated. And maybe, you know, you look at some other seasons where, you know, five-year records or forget about that. I'm talking bigger picture. The thing about the Giants is that their fans have always been the fans are checking out on the new. Let this statement resonate and get this one to John Mara. Your fans are leaving you. And we can talk about Yankee fans who are great and Knicks fans who are great. I can make the case that Giant fans are actually the best fans. And they are checking out on your product because, number one, not only is it moribund, but it's without consistency. It's without direction. It's without inspiration. Your stadium's half empty. When you play a team that's even halfway decent, 25,000 of those fans infiltrate your stadium, which, by the way, is gross. So I look at this franchise, Sal. They were the platinum standard. Along with the Yankees, they have become... they've become the Jets.
Right. And I think it's a perfect way to say it. And I think that's why maybe it hurt. Now, it's been this way for a while. It's not like all of a sudden we woke up in the last couple of years, they've become the Jets. But because they were hanging on to their rich tradition, to the recent Super Bowls under Coughlin and doing it the way that they did with Eli Manning, they're held to a higher standard. And it's more shocking and I think more disappointing to have them get to this low level every year, new lows. Every hire they make is a bad one. Every decision that they've made is the wrong one, like the Jets. But with the Jets, it's almost sadly expected. With the Giants, it wasn't. And speaking of the Jets, like we talked about it on Friday, BT, going in, that there was a path. I didn't believe in this team. And what did I say? It wasn't the path that was impossible. It was that this team, they don't deserve our trust, specifically because they can't tackle. And there are different layers of the Jets and all their problems as well. But now the season is officially over. If you didn't think it was over before, it's officially done now. And it's because they're a pathetic group of guys who quit once their head coach was fired. They weren't good before that. But once Woody made the decision to fire Saleh, they quit on defense. And now they're all done.
I have no idea where they go. I really don't. I don't know what the possible direction is for the New York Jets. I mean, we'll get to Rodgers a little bit later. Yeah. But yesterday was just a complete no-show. And, you know, listen, I was holding on because I did think that there was talent on this team. And the way they looked in the second half against the Houston Texans, albeit a beat-up Houston Texans team, the defense flashed. You saw the chemistry with Rodgers and his receivers. I mean, I'm sorry for expecting the Jets to be able to go out and beat the Cardinals who do one thing, run the ball. And the Jets had extra time to prepare. They had extra time to physically regenerate. And again, you have guys not only missing tackles, but checking out of tackles. Let's get this to Soft Gardner. That is now his name. It's not Sauce. It's not Ahmad. It is Soft Gardner. Dude, mix in a protein shake. Learn how to lift a weight and learn how to lower your pads and actually tackle somebody. I don't know what's happened to Soft Gardner right now is one of the biggest mysteries that I've ever seen, at least recently in New York sports. To be that great and to become such a disinterested stiff at this point, I can't even comprehend understand what's happening. Well, the good news, I did check the 10-day weather report for Soft Gardner. It's going to be about 68, 69. Oh. A little sprinkle of rain finally for the first time in 40 days over the night. But it's going to be nice today. So go out there, work on your leg putts and your five irons and your chip shots, whatever else you're doing. Because that young man, Soft Gardner, is now more interested in playing golf than football. He has stunk this entire season.
He's got a golfer's body.
And by the way, yeah, he does, yeah. And by the way, Sal, what's happened, the NFL's figured him out. They're like, oh, no, we can't go with him. We can't go with Gardner. He said, no, 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 you go with Gardner, and then you run right through his chest. All right, this team, I tweeted this morning, and I mean this, and there's a lot of different layers with the Jets and the Giants. We'll get to it all, I promise. But you've never heard me say this, because I am resilient with the Jets. If your child is between the ages of 4 and 8, and they are clearly, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, if my son missed it by a year, my daughter's a Cowboys fan because of mommy being from Texas. So my household, unfortunately, has already gravitated to the teams are going to gravitate to. If your child's between the ages of 4 and 8 and still hanging on to that impressionable window of youth, of fandom, do not let them become a Jets fan. Do not do it. Do not let them watch. Do not have Santa bring a jersey or next to the menorah. No Jets gear. Don't watch. They are an embarrassment. I hate what they do to me. I hate what they do. I know it's not just about me, but I really hate the Jets, man.
I hate them too. I hate watching
and by the way,
them. I hate both these teams. I can't do it. I'm up early. I was excited for a good football Sunday.
I know.
Like an idiot, I bet on the Giants again.
No, you bet?
Yeah, of course I did. I got to have interest in the game somehow. I mean, come on.
Oh, man.
Losers. We root for losers in this town.
We do, by the way.
And then we wash it down with the Jets at 425, not to mention the Knicks who got their rerun kicked.
That's what I was going to say, Game Gambona. 135 points last night for the Knicks, Sal. These are dark days, but I really mean this. Like, the Jets are probably never fixable, but the Giants' pride is eroding to the point where it's almost not even recognizable.
I think you already...
I mean that. It's dead, Giants' pride.
I think you said the worst thing you could possibly say about any football team. Huh. He said that they're the Jets.
Yes.
The Giants have become the Jets.
You know what's crazy, by the way? And we'll get the calls here. BT and Sal, my goodness gracious. All right, we'll go through this together. So the reason why I was somewhat optimistic, again, the way they played second half against the Texans, but also the muddled AFC picture. Let me check my notes. Oh, what a surprise. The Colts lost yesterday. Let me further check my notes. Oh, what a surprise. The Broncos lost yesterday. Let me go back a couple days. Oh, what a surprise. The Bengals lost. They actually got help again, and they still, they didn't score a touchdown.
Hey, you know the one thing that I agree with you on Friday was the path.
Yep.
I really believe that the path was there. I just couldn't believe. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. The moment it changed for me Tuesday, we had Baldy on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he said, because I'm not watching the Cardinals every single game, and I look at them, I'm like, they could be beaten. Like, it's the Arizona Cardinals, whatever. Once he said, what they do well is run the football.
Run the ball. 7th in the NFL, .150 a game.
At that point, I said, this is going to be a problem. And then, obviously, that's exactly how it played out.
But I thought they'd score. Like, I thought
me too.
And if they lost, it would be just a high scoring. They scored 6.
BT and Sal on the fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Gary is in Scotch Plains. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me. Giants fan for 30 years. Yep, JD did his job yesterday. Be himself, lose the game, give our young sons and daughters hope for the future.
Who did the job?
Daniels. He lost. He did. He played him. Played. Just do what he does. Lost the game. Get sacked. You know, we're looking for the future.
Are you talking about Daniel Jones? I'm sorry, I got confused there.
Yep.
Yeah, DJ, right? And thank you for the call, Gary. Yeah, I mean, look, what's there more to say?
Nothing else to say about Daniel Jones. Zero.
Come on. We've been saying, I've already screamed it at the top of my lungs, dating back to when I was on the overnight, even before that as a part-time overnight host at Phil and O's. So there's really not much more you could say about him. He's somehow gotten worse. He's afraid to throw the football. There are guys wide open, which is why I blame Mara for keeping him here and forcing Shane to extend him. You almost want to blame Dable for being a good coach, too good a coach, because he had success with Jones. Now, remember, though, BT, they did so by running the football that year.
Mm-hmm.
They have gotten away from that, and I think specifically because they wanted to see if he could throw it. Last year he was hurt, so that kind of you wash that out. Then this is supposed to be a year, okay, we're going to open things up a little bit and see if he can make the plays down the field. He can't.
No, like, the answer is a resounding no.
And now we knew this forever.
He can't throw past 10 yards.
The owner's learning this. I guess the new regime is learning this, although yep. I have my doubt knowing how smart they are. Like, even if you don't think that they're good here, they're football guys. Like, you tell me.
Yeah,
that
yeah, I think so,
we
too.
We can see that Jones sucks, but they can't, like, of course they know. It's it. It's over for Jones. I don't want to put it this way, and I tweeted this out yesterday, or I said it on SNY, I forget. But either way, the Giants may not be done with Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback. Mm. I'm done watching it. I don't care what who they're playing, when they're on. If Daniel Jones is the quarterback, I'm not watching anymore. I'm done. That's it.
So I back mean, to the shifts. I mean we'll take the shifts. Yeah, we already started talking about taking shifts last week.
It's over in my house. Put it that way. I'm not watching. They can keep doing it again. Year 7, year 8. I don't care. I'm done watching Daniel Jones attempt to play quarterback.
It's brutal, dude. I mean, it really is ugly. And I think what the last caller was trying to verbalize, and I think he just got a little tripped over the JD-DJ thing, it's all good, is that, you know, at a point where the Giants, you got to embrace the tank. You have to.
I know.
At least from a fan perspective, because I know the franchise will never do that. But if you're a Giants fan, and I know that this always comes up. I mean, at what point should you embrace it? Could you really root against a team? Could you really bet against a team? The answer is yes. When they're this lifeless and this without hope, the only way to fix it is to hit rock bottom. And sadly, there's not many layers left to the Giants, but there might be one little teeny-weeny drop-off that actually resembles and equates to rock bottom. And good news for Giant fans is they're moving there quickly, so we'll probably see it next game after the bye.
As are the Jets. Raphael is in North Jersey. What's up, Raphael?
Fellas, I called you a year ago about the Jets. Aaron Rodgers got hurt, you guys were talking about, was this rock bottom. And I called in and I said, no, rock bottom will be next year, this year, if we go out and just blow it. And, man, we are at rock bottom. BT, my son is a year and a half. When he was in my wife's belly, I would get down to the belly and I would give him the jet chant.
Oh, boy.
Unfortunately, BT, I can even send you the video privately. He's already doing the jet chant. My daughter is going to be born. My daughter is going to be born in 3 weeks.
Wow.
BT.
Don't do it.
I was doing the same. I already did it.
Don't. Reverse it.
Why. I can't. Let me tell you. Because as a true and true Jet fan.
Uh-huh.
It's going to build callous and character for my son.
Yeah.
Eventually, look. And I've been,
or
and
apathy,
I've been waiting a long
and he hates
time.
Football.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted it too. Yeah.
No, listen. I buy enough vintage garbage on eBay. That kid's going to have no choice. I throw it all out. Rock bottom, BT.
I don't know. I think you're right, dude. I really do think that it's rock bottom. I don't think it was 1-15 or 3-13 with Coatside or, you know, Vinny with the snap, the ruptured Achilles, or, you know, all the other myriad, you know, meltdowns and mistakes and just unforgive the butt fumbles and the jokes. And I really think that this is rock bottom, because you can't be rock bottom if you don't have expectations. And let's face it, most of the seasons, you know, the expectation is to maybe compete, maybe hang around, maybe get a little lucky, maybe play meaningful football in December. But you're not setting yourself up for the ultimate fall. This is one of the few Jet seasons, you know, maybe like 98, like 99, maybe 1 or 2 years with Rex, where obviously the early 80s with Freeman and those guys and the sack exchange, where you actually think the Jets could do something special. It's a handful of seasons, and look at where we are. They missed 20 tackles. 20. So I don't know who the next coach is or quarterback. I don't know where they go. You know, Woody could go to Europe and never come back for as long as I'm, honestly. And you could stick Christopher in a suitcase and bring him with you. I don't know what happens here, dude. Like, I really don't. And I'm just, you know, the other thing, you know what Colton said to me yesterday? You know what he said to me? He's 9 years old, my son. You know what he said? He said, Dad, how pathetic is this? That he says, Dad, and he meant it. He's like, I don't think we're ever.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
We're going to win the Super Bowl for the Jets. and you know, at one point, you know, I know, well, you know, at one point I did say, He's like, man, he's like, the season's over. He's like, well, maybe if we win next week. And I finally looked at him, and I was finally honest with him. And, you know, I used a word, not a really bad word, but I can't say it on the radio. Yeah. I said, you know what? No, I said that's bull bleep. I said, we stink. It's over. And I vote for this year. I've always tried to, like, you know, throw him a little carrot, throw him a little bone, keep him inspired. I said, son, it's a wrap. We stink. We're cooked.
We'll come back. We'll look over the Jets schedule and see if they still
I'm not playing that game, dude. Loss. That's poor their
Cole.
Schedule.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019. The number to call and talk depressing New York football. I mean, I've had enough. I can't do it with Daniel Jones. How many times have we argued with people about Daniel Jones not being good enough? And every year, the pathetic excuses. Like, now you see it. I think it's plain sight for everybody to see all the plays that he's just missing because he's afraid to throw the quarterback. I don't know if I've seen more of a pathetic display ever in my life from a guy who actually has some ability than Daniel Jones, which is why, BT, ultimately, I would not fire Dable, and I probably give Shane another. If I'm gonna keep Dable, I probably should keep Shane because I really don't know what he is in year three now. Still, I think to properly evaluate a general manager, you need a little more time. But I just think it's a lack of execution from the players, specifically the quarterback, and that to me, he's here for one reason: the owner. The owner stuck with him. It should never have happened. Like, you know it's bad when I can tell you the right way to run the franchise, when those guys are getting paid millions and millions and they're supposed to be the experts, and they don't know how. I would have made the change immediately when you hired Shane and Dable. They didn't. It then led them to having that successful season, which then led them to signing this guy, which led to another 2 years down the road, which has been a big waste of time for everybody.
Daniel Jones stinks. He's just a waste of time at this point. I mean, he honestly is.
Well, don't you think he's... Well, I should ask you that. What do you think is the biggest reason why they're 2-8?
I still don't think their O-line's very good. I don't think the coaching is as good as people thought it would be. I mean, a flea flicker on 3rd-and-1? You gotta go 1 yard! Flea flicking? What are they on 2-point conversions? The 0-for-6? I lost track. 0-for-5. Thank you, Hoff. Part of the radio team who just got back from Germany. Hoff's hanging in there. He's got his Giants hat on still, proudly. So there is a little Giants pride remaining, I guess. I mean, what has Dable done? What does he do week to week except get a little red-faced, yell?
Yeah, but if the plays...
What do they do?
The plays are there to be made.
I mean, there are some that he doesn't pull the trigger on. I certainly give you that. But I don't see some amazing offensive schematical presentation that I thought a lot of people thought he was giving us. And I certainly don't see a quarterback whisperer yet. Now, maybe Daniel Jones is just not convertible. I mean, in terms of a talented player, and he does have some physical skill. We know that. But crossing the bridge from that into, you know, a bowler who actually gets your team in the end zone, Josh Allen. I haven't seen that.
Do you think there's a coach that can make Daniel Jones better?
No, I mean, he is what he is, man. So he's just terrified to throw the football.
Right, so if we're not evaluating him on the quarterback, which, by the way, he had somehow success with this quarterback, and again, it was primarily running the football.
I was going to say he had success, but basically not letting him do anything.
Correct.
15
okay.
touchdown passes.
And then they get away from that, and you see what happens. So wouldn't you think that he knows how to coach if he had success with this quarterback who can't throw at least 1 year? And you also see this team. Like, the reason why I was shocked that they actually lost that game yesterday is because they've been far more competitive against far better teams than Carolina. So if you're thinking that, okay, well, they're going to continue to play the way that they've played, which has been competitive in these games against better teams, then they should be able to, at the very least, beat the Panthers. And then they didn't. So they played down to the competition, whether it's defensively, offensively, whatever. But I look at them and say that the quarterback's the major problem. And the owner is the one who kept him here. So if I'm looking at, of the four, Mara, Shane, Dable, Jones, I would throw off the island Mara and Jones, and I'll keep Shane and Dable. Now, again, it's getting harder to push back on your argument saying, well, they're not coached very well. I mean, what am I supposed to say? They're 2-8. I believe in a game plan. Yeah, that's great. Or I think he could be a good coach. But based on what exactly? Like, at some point, you got to start winning these games. But my God, it's just gotten pathetic.
Well, listen, Mara's most culpable. I'll certainly meet you there because his body of work is much more incriminating. I mean, think about the last 10-plus years and outside of 2022, the way it ended with Tom Coughlin, so many different mistakes, the Gettleman stuff, hanging with Reese too much, no offensive line, all the things that Mara's been overseeing here, it's his product, and his product stinks, and it stunk for a long time except 1 year, which again proves to be the outlier. So I would agree with your order of culpability, Mara 1, Jones 2, I do agree with that. What I'm less committed to is the belief in the other two men on that list. And right. I've been that way for a while.
And even at this point, I may have to acquiesce and just be like, hey,
they
whatever.
They lost to the Panthers, Sal. The Panthers.
I know. Patrick is in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I think I called last week and I was like, if the Giants lose this game, I think that all the Giants fans should literally sell their tickets. And I think that's the case. But, hey, BT, I just wanted to say, remember in the draft when they drafted Malik Nabers and I was like, that's just a shiny toy?
Yeah.
Is he going to throw himself the ball? Because
yeah.
Daniel Jones is going to get this kid killed. You see his face. He's trying to be like the good citizen and not throw his quarterback under the bus. But, hey, I'm going to have to push back on the Dable. Dable had some great plays. He caught everybody with the flea flicker. Those receivers are running wild. And Daniel Jones is like, where do I throw the ball? I mean, it's kind of like, guys, what can you have the coach do? You draw great plays, and they just...
Two guys running wide open! They're running wide open! And he's afraid to throw it! And here's where I'll get on Dable, too. How can you not bench Jones at halftime?
Yeah, I don't know. I hear you.
Like, what are we doing here? Daniel Jones, that interception going to the half, that should have been the last pass that he ever threw in a Giants uniform. My God, and I told you about the pick. It's not Nabers, the player. I honestly don't even have it in me. Like, the Giants continue to make colossal mistake after colossal mistake, and then they expect something different to happen. Like, picking Nabers was the wrong move, and I really believe that in part, if not large part, why Shane picked Nabers was because Mara made him feel guilty about losing Barkley, so they needed a new shiny toy to the caller's point and that new face of the franchise. Well, here you go, Malik Nabers. That's not how you build a football team. You need a quarterback. There were guys there. Good God. The Chargers need a receiver, too. They took Joe Alt. And look at what the Chargers are doing with a good coach.
That's true. And they got rid of Williams. They let Williams go.
Right. They needed a receiver. They took one in the second round with Ladd McConkey.
The Nabers pick, I have no issue with it. I loved it that night. I just think that they've got he has almost no chance to succeed. And I know Mike Williams is a different type of player, obviously, at this point of his career. But
did make a nice catch yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's very interesting. Like, if you took Malik, we're sitting here saying Malik Nabers, you're not doing a ton because of Daniel Jones, and that's true. Although Malik Nabers needs to stop jumping for the ball when he doesn't need to jump. That's why he went in the tent again, and that's why I thought he was concussed again. Stop. He caught it with his stomach. Stop jumping. If you guys know the play that I'm talking about, you know the play that I'm talking about. But I think that the Williams stuff, like, okay, let's take a dysfunctional franchise and let's put him with the Steelers. He makes the game-winning play. So that's the Jets angle. I guarantee if you took Nabers and put him on a competent team, next Sunday he goes for 9 catches for $160 and 2 touchdowns.
Well, here's another
one. I guarantee it.
I think it's a great example, and I was thinking this yesterday, watching the Steelers in Washington. Russell Wilson, the Giants could have had him. There was talk about that a couple years ago.
There was.
But do you think that Russell Wilson would have been the same with the Giants?
Nope.
Okay, like, the Steelers are a well-run organization that say, okay, you're done with this guy, we'll take him, and we'll make him good. And Russell Wilson's throwing dimes all over the field yesterday!
I know.
Oh, my God. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, fellas. How are you, babe? Just say one thing. I'd like to thank all the military for their service on Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
That made this country the greatest country in the world.
Yes.
Amen.
Good
awesome
point,
job.
Charlie. Happy
yes,
Veterans
sir.
Day, and thanks to all who have served this country and made the ultimate sacrifice.
Hey, now to get to football. You know what? Tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, we deserve a better brand of football. I wake up to watch the Giants. I'm not a Giant fan, but you know us. We love our football. We watch both teams. I might not support them, but I expect quality football. We're not getting football from either program. It's embarrassing being a New York fan of these teams. It's terrible football to watch. You watch a game like Thursday night, great game. Last night, what a great game to watch on Sunday Night Football. Well, I'm watching. I don't even want to watch the games anymore. I just want to watch the NFL Red Zone and watch quality football. Jets aren't playing this weekend. I can't wait to watch quality football this weekend. And that's how I'm done with the Jets. My gear's away. Put it away till they do something different. I can't stand watching the New York Jets anymore or the Giants. It's sad football to watch.
Can't push back. Unfortunately, the Jets are playing this weekend. Giants are off.
Yeah, well, Jets playing one. He's saying, oh, what did he say?
I think he said the Jets are off this weekend.
Yeah,
I think he made a twist
right,
of that.
Giants have a bye. Jets
sure.
got their game flexed to 1 o'clock, but still.
Then
I
they
mean,
have the bye.
He's right.
No,
and the NFL is the one sport where it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be regional or localized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, we talk about the Jets and Giants primarily, but, I mean, as far as the game go and the storylines go, there's a big game Thursday night, Philadelphia, Washington, be into that. There are big games next weekend as well. Not as many, though, as you would think. I think there's a big game at 4. It's the Bills and Chiefs at 4:25. And then they flex the Sunday night game as Chargers-Bengals. So, yeah, I mean, think about this. Again, as the thing I'm seeing in my Twitter feed yesterday, the Tankathon updates.
I saw it. I went there this morning.
The Jets and Giants in the top 10. Like, how many times you want to just did that draft show when we weren't even together a couple years ago?
Oh, at the Meadowlands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the Jets and Giants picking in the top 10 or top 5. Like, how many? That's the talk around here with New York football for the better part of a decade.
Yep.
Who's the new head coach going to be? Where are they picking in the top 5, top 10? Who's the new quarterback? What? Like, that's what we're talking about with New York football. Year after year after year, it's the same stuff.
And think about the four players that were drafted inside the top 10 the night that we did. That was 2022, right? Was that 2022? It had to be.
Yeah. Might have been 2021.
You know what? Maybe it was 2021. I think you're right. Evan Neal is a complete zero. Kayvon Thibodeau, eh. Soft Gardner, can't tackle. And Garrett Wilson is the real deal. So 25%, Jets and Giants combined.
Right,
good job.
That year, the
maybe
multiple.
40%, because Kayvon's got a little tennis. He's got to get healthy, whatever. You know what I mean.
This is going back to Sam Darnold and Saquon. Like, come on.
It's disgraceful. And I got news for you. Like, the other games, I don't know, maybe I'm different. But just because there's a good national game on with a big profile and real lasting ramifications, I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it, but I don't care. Like, it doesn't change how I feel about the teams and the football faith that we have here. And, you know, depending upon how old you are, you know, I started watching football in the early 80s. Yeah, you got Inside the NFL on HBO, and we didn't have HBO right away, but when we got it, I watched it. Yeah, and you'd see, like, the Niners and the Raiders are the late games, and you get the Monday Night Football. So you had a little taste of the national scene, but my football Sundays were Jets and Giants.
Right.
So that's my DNA. Not that I don't bet, not that I don't have fantasy, not that I don't check in on the other higher profile things, but they don't make me happy.
Right. Well, yeah.
They just don't. They don't change my attitude about football.
I think the majority of fans, whether you're a Jets or Giants fan, you don't want to watch it anymore, so you'd rather be happy and watch the other stuff, whether you're betting or fantasy-wise. And I'll tell you this, you know, we're older, and even me, like, I grew up initially I was a Giants fan, and I liked the Jets when they had Parcells, but I grew up a Falcon fan, so you grew up a fan of a team that's out of town. But I do think the sport has grown so much, and younger fans now, whether they grow up in New York or not, are rooting for their fantasy quarterback, a team that they see in the playoffs that they like.
Yep.
Like, now more than ever, younger fans like teams from out of town.
Yeah, it's been like that for a while.
It's not a localizer. Whereas baseball is the most regional sport you could possibly have. Football's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Hoops, too. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you got a lot of local Knicks fans here, but the Steph Curry, LeBron stuff, even Kobe back in the day, a lot of East Coasters gravitate to the great Kobe and some others.
The gambling, the red zone, the fantasy, the Sunday ticket, all those things have led to fans wanting to watch good football, and that means not watching the Giants and Jets every week.
Sal, it's November 11th. The Jets have 3 wins. 3.
I mean, you could combine the team's wins and it wouldn't even be a good team.
If you combine both, I think you meant actual win total. I agree. Yeah. I actually said that on the pod last night. Like, I mixed the Giants in for a moment. If the Jets and the Giants combined rosters, they still wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
It is it's so disheartening and so disgraceful. Really is.
Couple of things I want to get to. Number one, Jeff Ulbrich speaking today, talking about yesterday's disaster defensively.
Just looking at the film, just kind of what's your assessment of kind of just what went down yesterday?
Defensively, the story was tackling 100% in man coverage. You know, we didn't cover well and we didn't tackle well, and that was a collective effort. Whenever you get beaten coverage, it's always an element of rush that goes into that, whether you affect the quarterback or not. But it wasn't good enough, and an egregious criminal amount of missed tackles. Not good enough. We need to find ways to drill it better and give these guys an opportunity to like, that's where I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't get these guys prepared for this tackling game. Like, we knew that was a point of emphasis, and we thought we drilled it, obviously didn't drill it well enough, and got to keep finding ways to help these guys be successful.
So
not good enough.
Okay, there's Ulbrich right there. So why do you think that that's the case? Do you think that that's coaching?
Well,
we all saw it. We all know that was the case even going into this game.
I really think with Sauce, I think it's a strength thing. I just think he's physically weak.
Well, but it's not just him. We'll get to him in one
second. Well, he's the most egregious. Right. That was a massive play when McBride basically rode him for 20 yards, going up high rather than going low and giving up 30 pounds. Learn how to tackle. tackle.
Understood, but he didn't miss 20 tackles. Like, it's not a Sauce problem or a Soft Gardner problem, as you would say. It's an everybody problem on the defense. My point is, and we'll get to Sauce in a second, but don't you think that that's just, like, for me, here's my reasoning to why that's the case. They quit. They're losers on the defense, and when their guy, Robert Saleh, got fired, they quit. Because tackling, to me, is not a skill or a talent. It's a matter of effort. So there is no, I mean, a good coach is going to get the most out of you, but I think this particular group quit on the season when they felt their guy, Robert Saleh, was fired.
I don't agree with that, because I don't think they were a good tackling team to start the season. It's gotten worse. I'll definitely give you that, but I think it's compounded by a couple things here. Number one, Joe Douglas had an awful offseason and went for the splash moves and let some run-stuffing, you know, big boys lead the building. So this has a downstream effect. When you get no resistance on the defensive line, now all of a sudden, even if it's just an average running back, is now into level two with the little momentum. And I'm sorry, even if you're a sturdy tackling linebacker, if you're kind of stationary or maybe taking a step forward versus, you know, a 220-pound NFL running back who runs a 4-4 change running at you, who has five steps of momentum, who's going to win that battle? It's the running back. So the D-line's a problem. They just gash the second level. The soft Gardner just doesn't. He doesn't know how to I don't understand how he doesn't know how to tackle. And you know what stinks about this? Ulbrich is going to be on the unemployment line. Yeah. He's not going to be the coach of the Jets. That's clear.
He had no shot.
There's no zero shot. And he shouldn't be because he hasn't distinguished himself enough. They're getting worse. And they look disinterested now. But it's really unfortunate because he was doing a really good job as the coordinator. And now he's going to be out of a job. Now, the good news is he'll get picked up elsewhere very fast as a coordinator. But it's just a confluence of circumstances that is just, it's off the rails. It's so over.
He was set up to fail. He's looked completely overmatched and overset, but he had no shot to succeed, is what I meant to say. Not that he'll have no shot to be back. We know that. All right, now on that, Rich Cimini tweeted out the Jet stock report, whatever. I guess that's the thing that he does. Entire defense missed 20 tackles. 20. Sauce Gardner, the costliest miss, blah, blah, blah. He said some other things. So Sauce, who I thought quit social media, He quote tweeted that saying, "Yup, I'm 100% sure me missing that tackle at the beginning of the second quarter for a gain of 17 yards was the costliest miss, and that is in fact what lost us the game." He just doesn't get it.
Like, yeah, we don't care, Soft. We don't care. You know, I do respect accountability, I mean, in life, but this is not the first time he's done it.
Well, he didn't hold himself
accountable. What I'm saying is, no, he goes, yeah, I'm 100%, it's me.
He's being sarcastic.
I guess. I read it quickly.
Yeah.
I guess you're right, my bad. Well, listen, either way, words are words, and what shows up on game day, and this guy's been missing tackles the entire season. Yeah. I mean, that's really what matters.
Right, but it's not worse than actually missing tackles on the field, but afterward going to social media trying to...
Yeah, that's true. That is very sarcastic. You're right. And then he deleted it, of course.
Yeah, right.
So he's got a little, you know, I know that's how young athletes operate, but man, just get a clue. To the point now where... I can't believe I'm even saying this, but I mean, I think I'm looking to trade him this offseason. I'm not giving him big money. Why would you do that?
Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I wanted to talk about the coaching going into next year. But first, I wanted to just let you both know that you're talking to the biggest idiot of the day, because I let my emotions get involved yesterday, and I actually benched Kyler Murray and started Aaron Rodgers in my fantasy team yesterday.
Well, that's just stupid. But congrats.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He got 30 points while Rodgers got me 4 points.
Yeah, I got you. I don't think I've updated a lineup in 5 weeks. Who cares about fantasy? Let's go.
Yeah. So coaching next year. Listen, if Aaron Rodgers is back on this team next year, seeing how they fired Saleh because of Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson's got egg all over his face, what coach in their right mind would want to come here and deal with this circus?
Yep.
Knowing that the quarterback pulls all the strings.
Somebody who's going to get their first chance to be a head coach, which is nothing I have interest in. And thanks for the call there, Chris. This is the dilemma that the Jets put themselves in. You know, we talk about what happened with the Giants and how that impacted the team moving forward when they gave him the extension. The commitment to Rodgers, if it worked, it was going to be really good. And if it didn't, this is officially where we are. So nobody worth a grain of salt is coming here, you know, with Rodgers still pushing buttons and having the juice and the influence that he's had so far. So my answer, I know we're getting to Rodgers a little bit more at the top of the hour, but yeah, I'm going to actually save that. But it is complex. They've got to... let me put it this way. There's no easy out with Rodgers. If you keep him, that's probably not the right move. If you get rid of him, there's some impact with money and some other stuff. So we can flush through it in a bit, but they are in a pinch, man.
All right, so we'll do Rodgers coming up in like 7 minutes or so. But I do think that they, like Gio brought this up with Gruden. That's somebody that I was thinking of off the top of my head. But that's what they need, somebody like that. And if it's not going to be Belichick, then, and we would assume it's not going to be.
Nah.
Like, if I'm Woody, I would go hands and knees to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, so would I.
Whatever it takes. Like, you want part ownership? You want to take over my role when I'm in London? Whatever. I'm being dead serious. Like, whatever Bill Belichick wants, I would give him to try to fix this thing. Because I think where the Jets roster is at is different from where the Giants roster is at. I think the Jets now need that type of guy. And if it's not going to be Belichick because he hates you and hates the organization, then I would do the same thing for Gruden. Maybe not to that extent of saying ownership, because Gruden's going to be a little desperate just to get back in.
Correct. But I'm interested in Gruden. I heard Gio Boom's talking about this morning.
Who are those other guys? Like, Vrabel to me is a good head coach, but he could just be another good head coach that comes here and fails because he's not going to have the cachet to really run things.
Yeah. He won a lot of games with Tannehill. Keep in mind, he won a lot of games with Ryan Tannehill. He beat Brady in the playoffs.
I get it. I mean, look, would I be opposed to that? No, I mean, Harbaugh's the guy that I wanted. So, yep. They missed the boat. Every single time they missed the boat. So how many times are you going to miss the boat before you realize, hey, I'm either going to walk back home or jump in and start swimming where I need to go?
I'm going to throw something absolutely nuts at you. So how's Dallas doing this year? Not good, right? You know he's gone.
Yeah, would you take him, McCarthy?
Do you reunite McCarthy, Rodgers, and Adams? I mean, I'm half joking,
hey,
but
you know
not fully.
You know what? It's not a bad thought. Put it this way, they've done work. Well, that's why, and we'll get into Rodgers when we come back and continue with your call as well, 888-808-1019. It's a huge factor in this because where the Jets are at roster-wise and with everything, the way that it's structured, they're more than likely going to have to run it back. So you're going to have to run it back with a coach who is going to be somebody that's a veteran guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a blow-it-up, rebuild situation. At least I don't think that's going to be possible.
I agree with that.
Point.
And here's the other problem, too. If they remain married to Rodgers, they're not going to burn a top-10 pick on a quarterback because they're going to get somebody else that they think will help Rodgers cross the bridge to winning. And that's another move that they probably will regret because eventually you've got to address the quarterback spot.
We'll continue with your calls on both the Jets and the Giants and work in Aaron Rodgers to the conversation about the future of A-Rod.